It's always a honor for me, whether I'm with a small group and sharing scripture or like today, being able to share the message with you. As Rob said, God is so good. We look at the pictures of the folks overseas and what they're going through, what Ukraine's going to suffer through this winter. And I'm sure we all either put a log or two on our wood stove this morning or put on the heat, whether it was propane or electric. But folks, we are so blessed, and God forgive us that we whine and complain about things that are so minor compared to what the rest of the world is going through. Now this, what I want to share today, this message can be either long or short. It depends on you if you pick up those green tomatoes that are out in front of the church. I promise you, we pulled them all yesterday from our garden, and we had got some probably a week or two ago, and they're beautifully red now. So don't let the color scare you. They will ripen, and they're delicious. So I don't know how to ask you if you're going to pick them up, to depend on how long this message is going to be, but I'll just trust you that you could use them. Anyway, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 9 has always fascinated me because it's a picture of us as crackpots, fallible, easily distracted, upset by things that happen to us. We're not perfect. We're crackpots, and God uses us because of all the things we've experienced. And some of you know we lost our oldest son to suicide about 5 years ago. And I say, well, why, Lord? Why would that happen to us? And Susie Birch could say the same thing. She lost Bill. Now she's battling cancer. But in all the things that we go through, those crackpots allow us to reveal God's power working through us, that we can overcome the things that hit us. And you young guys, if it hasn't hit you yet, I guarantee it will. Young ladies, because the enemy, if you love Jesus, you've got a target on your back. And he's going to do everything to tear your testimony, your life down. But just remember, he's a defeated foe. He lost at Calvary in the resurrection. And that's the one that we proclaim every Sunday through music and through the message. So if you will, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we'll start with that. I memorized this because I think it's so very important. But let's start. We're going to do verse 7 and look at that and tear it apart a little bit. We now have this light shining in our hearts. Now that light is obviously the presence of the Holy Spirit. And when you think about it, that light, the supremely valuable message of salvation given to frail and fallible human beings, God chose us, crackpots, to share that message of hope. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars with this great power. So it is evident this great power is from God and not from us. I think Drew has used this before, but go to Genesis chapter 2. Way back at creation. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 says, "Then the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person." So scripture identifies this as mainly dust that have been formed into a human being. From the dust of the earth seems to imply that there's nothing fancy about the chemical element making up our bodies. The body is a lifeless shell until God brings alive with his life-giving breath. When God removes his life-giving breath, our bodies once again return to dust. Many people boast of their achievements and abilities as though they were the originators of their own strength. Others may feel worthless because their abilities and strengths don't stand out. It's interesting that Paul does not spend much time on the pot. He spends the time on the power within the pot. That's the Holy Spirit. If you look at TV, there's not much to watch anymore. History. I don't know if you'll believe this or not, but back in 76, Don Murphy and myself and Ann and some others went down to the Reading Civic Auditorium, and David Wilkerson was speaking. This was in the late 70s. And he said, there's coming a day down the road where you won't be able to watch television. It's going to get that bad. And if you look at some of the stuff that's out there, it's sad. It's so sad. If you watch or you look at magazines, there's so much talk on fixing the pot, Botox, hair transplants. No reflection, sir. Facelifts, body implants to make the pot look better. And yet we just read that the pot is going to return to dust. It's so short. If we live 85, 90 years, compared to eternity, that's a nanosecond compared to what we're going to be in glory. But yet so much of the world focuses on what the pot looks like. And so we have to realize, obviously, that the importance is what's inside of us, and that's obviously the Lord. If you will, turn to Ephesians, first chapter. Ephesians 1, and we're going to read verses 13 through 14. Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he has promised. There's also a great verse, if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians 1:22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit within us as the first installment that guarantees everything he has promised us. I remember, of course, back in the days, my dad was a farmer in Kansas, that you could buy a car with a handshake. And now we're going, you know, it's silly. But if, for us nowadays, if we buy a car, it's usually on an installment. So we have the first installment, the second, however many years you have those installments. But the word says it's the first installment that guarantees everything he's promised us. So if he's promised us the Holy Spirit is the first installment, think what the second and third and fourth and fifth in the eternity are going to be. The presence. The presence of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing. There's another one that's really great. I don't know if you remember, but Mike Ash played bass guitar with the worship team for a time, and then they moved back east. Mike always called Malachi Malachi. I like that. So if you'll turn to Malachi, right before the New Testament, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. This is another promise that I think is so uplifting as we face the unknowns of this time in the world. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written with the names of those who feared the Lord and always thought about the honor of his name. They shall be my special people, says the Lord of heaven's armies. And on the day that I act in judgment, I will spare them as a child, as a father spares an obedient son. Then once again, you will see those who are righteous, those who are wicked, those who serve the Lord, and those who do not. So with that promise, when we stand in judgment, the word says he will spare us because we've been obedient to his word and to his what he's called us to do and be. Now that's kind of a breakdown of verse 7. Now look at 8, back at 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. This is where it gets real. It says, we are oppressed on all sides, but not crushed. Now, Drew last week talked about the pressure of our society and the way the world's going. And he mentioned inflation, crime, lack of morals. You guys can fill the blank in as well as I can. We are pressed on all sides. Illness, unknowns about the future. Maybe you've had a 401k that tanked. Maybe your hours were cut down at work. Maybe you've got a rebellious son or daughter, or grandson or daughter that's breaking your heart. We're pressed on all sides, but it says we're not crushed. Go to Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 31 and 32. And you've heard this many times before, but in what I just said, that we're pressed, but we're not crushed. Look at what Romans 8:31 says. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything? And then look at verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for you, your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Then the opposite says, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And then the next one is in verse 8, perplexed, but not driven to despair. I looked up the word perplexed in the dictionary, and it says difficult to understand. And I'm thinking about the last couple years, maybe 2.5, 3 years, where America and what we've known to be society in general as relatively healthy, I don't understand how fast it's gone downhill. It just blows my mind that it's hit so quick. But scripture says that Christ said that in those last days it'd be like giving birth to a baby. It comes quicker and it comes harder. And it's right in front of us. I mean, we're seeing it. I'm 81 now, and some of you youngsters are 30s, 40s, 50s. I don't know how long God's going to tarry. But I do know that the promises are what keep me alive and keep me going. No matter what the news says, no matter what the newspapers say, the television. Drew said many times, if you want to stay in a point of joy and happiness, don't watch the news. It's true. The next one says, hunted down but not abandoned by God or persecuted. We here in Scott Valley, as opposed to some of my relatives in Southern California, we don't feel that persecution. Now, maybe in some careers that you have, I know when I taught music at Aetna, I used to have the choir sing Christian hymns. And the band would play songs that were had a relevancy to some kind of Christian thing. And I had a student one time, she was from New York. This is back in the probably middle 80s. She asked me, she says, how can you sing these songs? I had the choir memorize Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. She said, how can you do that? I said, because it's a great hymn of truth and history. And her implication was, she never explained it, but you couldn't have done that in New York. We could do it here. I used to put on all the programs of music, say, Jesus Christ, the true meaning of Christmas. Well, I don't think I could do that now. I don't know. But Drew keeps saying, folks, get ready, because it's going to hit. And how strong is our faith? How much are we relying on that power that's within our cracked pots to take us through this tough stuff? The next one says, knocked down but not destroyed. Did you ever get a phone call or email or something that hit you right in the gut? Yeah, I have too. My dad used to use a phrase called, I just feel like I've been pulled through a knothole. And I think sometimes we may feel like we're stuck in that knothole. We're not all the way through it. But there's going to be pressure that comes against us that's going to try to take away our joy and our hope and our peace. Verse 9. This is the why, I would say, of verse 7, 8, and 9. The why. In all these sufferings, we continue to identify with the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus can be seen in us. And my question is, how much of Christ's life are people seeing in us? Is it covered up because of our distress and hurt and worry, problems, or is he shining through? Because we know that we know that we know that he'll take us through it. And that's one of the reasons I really enjoy this 2 Corinthians 7:4-9. So that the life of Jesus can be seen in us. And so my question to us, and myself included, is, what do people see when they watch you? What do they see when they watch your mannerisms and how you handle things? Do they see you grumpy and grouchy and upset because the doctor made you wait an hour? Somebody pulled in front of you in the Arby's, try their new sandwich. All these little things tend to bug us, but I'm hoping that Big Butch will be back soon. Some of you know him, the big burly guy who used to be a bouncer for the Grateful Dead. He's been in the hospital in San Francisco for almost a year now on his foot because of losing his toes to diabetes. Anyway, he always said, you may be the only Bible somebody sees. I'll never forget that. And it's very true. And I'm not trying to browbeat you. And I'm just saying, for you to be excited and joyful for Christ is to lean on that power which is in each one of us. Every one of us. Anyway, I found this cute story. I want to read to you. A man had two large pots that he used to carry water from a stream back to his house along a narrow path. Each hung on one end of a pole that he carried across his shoulders. One of the pots was perfectly formed and beautiful and never leaked. But the other pot had a crack. Not as lovely, and it leaked all the time. By the time the man would walk from the stream back to his house, the cracked pot would have leaked half its water onto the ground. The cracked pot felt bad that he wasn't like the other pot. After a long time, the cracked pot finally spoke to the man as he was drawing water from the stream. I am ashamed of myself, and I want to apologize to you. What do you have to be ashamed of? The man asked. Because of this crack, the pot replied, half of my water leaks out on the way back to the house. You would be better off if I had no flaw. I'm ashamed that I haven't been able to serve you well because of this crack. The man looked kindly at the crack pot and said, my dear old pot, you haven't failed me. While we walk back to the house today, I want you to look at all the beautiful flowers along the path. And sure enough, as they walked home, the pot opened its eyes and noticed for the first time the beautiful array of flowers that had decorated the journey home. Now everyone who walks along this path looks at the flowers and thinks how beautiful they are. My old crack pot, because of your flaw, you bring joy to every person who walks down this path. What you perceived as a flaw is the very thing that gives life to the flowers and brings beauty to this world. Father, we thank you that though we may not measure up to Hollywood's explanation of what beauty is, what power is, or strength, thank you that you've chosen broken pots to reveal our weaknesses and how we're made strong because of the presence of you living within us. Guide us, Lord, as we go through this coming week, as we go through the voting next week. God, it's in your hands. We trust you, Father, for whatever comes. We ask your anointing and blessing on this valley. We thank you for those that have moved here that seem to have a rich relationship and depth with you. And we pray, Lord, that you would use us in whatever walk you've put us on to touch lives and be able to say, no matter what, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who gives me strength. In Jesus' name, amen.